Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where each word of the script will be printed onto an individual Solero shot, which I will then stand on stage and can and eat one by one, revealing the plot to a 10-minute standing ovation. I'm Joel, the man who puts the trash into heat rash, and across from me is John Harris, the only person in the UK currently wearing more than one layer. John, do you hate yourself? It's so warm. And I wrote that before seeing John. He's wearing two layers. A running gag on this podcast is that John wears too many clothes. It's so hot. I am hot, bothered, angry, really annoyed that I had to do this podcast today because it's so warm and I have to close my window, but I also have to sit next to the window. So it's like being, you know, one of the toys in Toy Story when Sid's got the magnifying glass over them. So I will get, if anything, grumpier as this goes on, as I am basically cooked by my own window. Hi, John.
Hello, mate. On the subject of running gags, it's becoming a running gag, you melting by a window in this podcast.
I think that's third week in a row. Imagine me. So the way I see myself is that I used to work at a wedding venue years and years and years ago. And at the marriage bit where they did the ceremony, they had these giant candles that they would burn every ceremony. And so eventually they would just become like these candelabras covered in wax over years and years and years. And that's what I feel like every time I Zoom you. I feel like I'm slowly melting into a ceremonial ornamental candelabra.
What's up with the
muscle? That could just be my age.
What's up with the muscle men of the 80s? Why do they all look like they've melted? Why has that happened?
I don't know. Have they all melted?
Well, I was just thinking.
Are you telling me to stop going to the gym? Because in 30 years' time, I'll be a big melted man.
Well, I was just, when you were describing that, I was thinking of like the idea of a human doing that. And my brain said Sylvester Stallone. And then next it said Mickey Rourke. That was all. It just.
They are melty men, aren't they?
Yeah. But I think that's plastic surgery.
You're that big and that muscly, and then even if you give it up to a certain extent, the muscle, I don't know biology, but it turns to wax. It turns to candle wax, maybe?
That's it, mate.
Or they live in hot places. They all live in LA. Maybe if they live somewhere colder, they wouldn't melt.
Maybe that's what it is. Right, so we've hit
And that's why Schwarzenegger's Austrian blood keeps him rigid.
Absolutely. I think we've hit some real sort of hot button topics. This is great for the SEO of the show. Like, I'm always thinking about how we get more listeners, making snappy titles.
Ornamental candelabras. It's a big topic on Google. It's the latest home trend. We're taking it back to Miss Havisham times. We're going big on the ornamental candelabras. They are really hot on Google right now. Etsy, you can't move for an ornamental candelabra on Etsy. So we're on for a bumper week if you just call this show Ornamental Candelabra.
Just going back, I want to keep on this subject, but just going back for any international listeners, a Solero shot is an ice cream that was sort of in the form of BB gun pellets.
Oh, I was so excited by the Solero shot. When I was a kid, I was a complete sucker for anything that just played with the form of confectionery.
Still am for crisps. I don't really eat crisps that much, but if a brand has come out with a weird new flavour, I need to try it.
Here's a question, John. Would you be more excited by a new flavour of what's it or a new shape?
Because I don't think they've done flavour for. No, at the minute you can get prawn cocktail, right? and you can get crunchy little ones, which is sort of like a knickknack. And was I more? I think I was more excited about the prawn cocktail. However, the prawn cocktail ones, here we go, a giant Wotsits, right? You didn't expect me to have so much content on this. They're giant Wotsits.
Delighted.
Which I think is actually sort of a waste, because essentially the ratio of seasoning to Wotsit is off. You're excited by the idea of a giant Wotsit, but then actually in consumption you realise it's just a lot of corn with a tiny bit of seasoning.
You should never have to take two bites out of a Wotsit.
Yeah.
Right? It's not... A Wotsit's like a in-one. A Quaver, a Skip. These are all the in-one crisps.
Yeah, I don't know. That.
Actually, what's not an in-one?
I was just going to say...
Some will argue Pringle.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm definitely eating... I'm eating more than one in a bite.
Do you?
Sometimes I treat myself to two or three. Mm.
I like that. I like that about you. Anyway, okay.
No.
A new flavour of Pringle. Or imagine if they came out with a new shape of Pringle.
It's like a star or a square.
That would be. I reckon that would be front page tabloid news. Don't you?
A shape of Pringle. Imagine the box. Square. I could see a square.
I could see a square. They you know, they could do it for some, I don't know, some sort of event or something.
Xbox.
You know, like a one-off Xbox branded Pringles. They're perfectly square. This is a great idea.
The reason I say that is because I was thinking, right, we need to get more listeners. We need to be bang on trend. We need to be talking. So I've just checked on the United Kingdom trends. And right now, number two on trending is Curry's Xbox, which I assume means they've got some in stock or it's a competition. But
is that why you said it?
Yeah.
I'd also love them to bring out a curry-flavoured Quaver.
Yeah.
Because I love curries. Does that work? If I just...
Yeah. Number one is John.
I love curries. What's number one?
John Cook, one of the members of BTS. Just say something,
John.
Say something. Oh, go on.
If I were to come over, John, cook me some food.
No, right.
John, have you seen this thing online about how certain nationalities are less likely to cook food for you? John Cook, have you seen that, John?
Oh, the cook for you. Swedish
thing. British person might, but a Swedish person is less likely to. John Cook,
right. I think rather than this weird thing where you're doing, like, as if people are listening, like people are like taking the audio out and trying to find out what we're saying. Can you just say something about Jungkook? Can you just say, you'll never believe what I've heard about Jungkook? And I can make that the title of the episode.
You will never believe what I've heard about Jungkook. He wishes that giant Wotsits were even bigger. He wishes there was just one in a packet. It's like 3 foot long. And then he likes to hollow it out and put normal size Wotsits in it of a different flavour.
That's great. That is the title of the episode sorted. Now we'll do the content.
Oh, okay. How about some film ideas? Here's one from Pretty Smart for a Snake, The Fashion of the Christ.
Ah, I like it.
It's good. You know, he's at the Sermon on the Mount and someone from Bethlehem Weekly's asking him, who are you wearing? Is he a fashion icon?
I think in parts of London, Jesus could walk around and sort of get away with, like, people wouldn't bat an eyelid. They'd be like, yeah. Maybe put a cap on and, you know, you've got an East London.
Would you say
stage.
In the last 10 years, Russell Brand has essentially dressed in a way that would make you think he has some sort of messianic complex, which I think is even a name of one of his
tours. I was going to say, he's aware.
He has the hair and he just wears, doesn't he just wear, like, white flowy things now?
Yeah, that does ring a bell. So, in like...
What did Jesus wear? Did he only ever exclusively wear the white robe? Or did he, like, did he have a, he never had an image change or anything?
Well, I think
he didn't, like, wear skinny jeans once or anything, something like that.
No, he was definitely not wearing trousers. Okay. But I think there's, like, depictions of him in, like...
Do you think it's strange to think that Jesus never wore trousers? It is quite weird, isn't it?
Any other episode, that would be the name of the title.
Did he ever wear anything with a button on?
Did Jesus ever wear a button? See, these are all potential episode titles in the previous week, but we all know what I'm going to call it this week because I need that sweet, sweet SEO. And we might get killed by the BTS stands. No, so Jesus had a beige phase, I'm sure. You know, I've seen depictions. Yeah. It wasn't just straight to white.
That's probably just when he walked through the desert, though.
Maybe.
I think all the robes started off white.
He was a sandal guy, right?
Famously. He is a fashion icon. Jesus sandals are an item of clothing.
Imagine... Do you think you would have taken Jesus less seriously if he was wearing flip-flops and you just heard the clip of the flip-flops as he was walking up to do Sermon on the Mount?
As he walked alongside you in the sand?
Yeah.
Do you think he took his flip-flops off to walk on sand? You can't. It's, even Too Jesus hot. Couldn't walk on. He can walk on water, but he can't walk on sand in flip-flops. No one can. Do you know what I thought yesterday? I had a really horrible hangover. And I thought, if I actually thought this, John, yesterday. I thought if I was living in Jesus times, I'd pretend to have leprosy so that he would cure my hangover.
I don't think that's how miracles work.
I would just go up to him and be like, oh, Jesus, I'm so ill. And he'd put his healing hands on me and then my hangover would be gone. And I'm not saying a lot of people did it, but I reckon some people did it.
Do you think...
You know, it's like pulling a sickie and telling your office, oh, it was, I don't know what I ate last night, when what you ate last night was 10 pints of Guinness. That's what you know, it's a little white lie. All I'm saying to Jesus is, look, I'm in the queue with a lot of guys with leprosy, right? But at no point do I say to Jesus, I've got leprosy. But the person in front of me, he heals for leprosy. The person behind me, he heals for leprosy. I just walk up and say, I'm feeling pretty rough, Jesus. Feeling pretty sick. And he heals me. Now, is that bad? Is that wrong? It's not like he's got a cap. He can only heal 10 people a day. Where do you stand on that, John? I'm trying to get into Radio 4's moral maze so that I can present it to them. They won't answer my call.
Deceiving Jesus seems pretty bleak, I'd say.
Do you think he'd know? I think, here's the thing. I think he'd know and he'd do it and he'd forgive me and I wouldn't have a hangover anymore as well. So, what about if the hangover was caused by him turning water into wine?
I think in that case... You'd have more than every right.
I've got Jesus over a barrel.
Yeah. Just turn that wine back into water inside my body.
There we go.
Now I'm hydrated and not hungover. Wait, have we done one? Oh, yeah. The Fashion of the Christ. Yeah. Thank you very much. Twitter name that I can't remember. This one.
Pretty smart for a snake.
Thank you. This one comes from Sophie. Jurassic Park Dominion. The Minion. Jurassic Park The Minion.
Well, this makes sense, right? This makes perfect sense because... The Minions are little slapstick idiots, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if they were running a dinosaur park, the dinosaurs would break out almost instantly. I've never seen a minute of a Minions film, but I feel like I know exactly what happens in all of those films and exactly the vibe. They're little yellow idiots. They get into all sorts of scrapes. They end up running a dinosaur park because their leader grew.
Yep.
It's his new diabolical plan, dinosaur park, but the Minions are staffing it. Chaos ensues. It's the crossover we didn't know we needed, but now we all love.
So,
or are they giant minions? Well,
I think we can do both. I think the big attraction has to be some sort of enormous minion that's genetically mutated. Brilliant. So, at the end, when it's the famous sequence where like the decorations falling down and the Tyrannosaurus Rex like screams out as the glass is smashing, it's a minion. Yeah, a big minion. And maybe the minion's good, and he fights all the dinosaurs that are sort of causing terror. On the Minion subject, I think it's Mark Kermode. I am with Mark Kermode, who on his reviews always says that they're sort of, anything with Minions is sort of unreviewable because there's something innate about them that I just genuinely find very funny. It's sort of Chaplin-esque slapstick at its best.
Yeah.
I can't really argue. Like, I can't really...
I love slapstick. I'm into it.
I think you would genuinely like them.
Maybe that's my Sunday night viewing today.
Have you seen, on the subjects of slapstick, have you seen the trailer for the Netflix show that we didn't make, but it sounds like something we did make, Man vs. Bee with Rowan Atkinson?
Yes, I have. Occasionally one of these things come out and it does make what we do completely redundant. Because people are making more stupid things than we could ever dream of.
Yeah.
It's that entire episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
I have not, but I know that Rian Johnson did an episode from the perspective of a fly.
And I don't think it's sort of from the perspective of the fly. I mean, you don't really know, you know, it's not like...
You're not in its eyes. Flies
wants and dreams. But yeah, is it a bottle episode, they call it in American telly?
Yeah.
Where they have an episode to save a lot of budget, and it's like a one-room thing about a fly that gets into the lab, and it can't be in the lab because it will contaminate it, blah, blah, blah. And it's quite a controversial episode, I think, in Breaking Bad. I think people love it or hate it.
Yeah.
And this is just that. But also, in that episode, there is loads of slapstick.
Okay. So I don't need to...
Like Jesse falls off a ladder and it is stupid in parts.
Because they're trying to get one fly.
Yeah. So it does exist.
Oh.
This show exists in a way.
They were like, they watched the episode.
Is Mr. Bean going to cook meth?
Well, That, hey, that's not a bad idea. Maybe that's what it is.
It feels like Mr. Bean would start off trying to bake a cake and would accidentally cook high grade crystal meth, doesn't it?
And he's giving it to a local fair as a bake sale.
And that's brilliant. And it gets sold by the Women's Institute.
It's just a bunch of old people off their nut on crystal meth.
And the Women's Institute become absolutely loaded with cash. And, you know, the little village hall that they meet in just becomes progressively more tricked out. They've got like a jacuzzi in there. They're making money hand over fist. All the women at the WI are just pulling in Rolls Royces. And they're all making millions off Mr. Bean's meth. And he has no idea. He just thinks it's like a Vicky Sponge recipe that he's making every time. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And yeah, and they're just getting more and more pressure to make more and more of these cakes. And he doesn't realise it's because people are getting addicted. He just thinks people love his lovely cakes.
People love his cakes.
Oh, poor Mr. Bean. And that is Jurassic Park The Minion.
I'm into it. Hey, what about this one from Martin? Elon versus Predator.
Yep, would watch it.
Musk is in the jungle with nothing but his wits to take down Predator. Obviously, we all know, John, he's a super genius. He's the smartest man on planet Earth. You think that, don't you? That's what a lot of your Twitter accounts are kind of dedicated to.
Yeah, my burner accounts, yeah.
Your burner accounts are mostly dedicated to people that reply to Elon's tweets negatively. You're straight on them with stats and facts that prove that Elon's the number one guy in your life. And so take it from here is what I'm saying. What would Elon do in the jungle? You're one of his super fans. You would understand him better than most.
Well, he made a flamethrower at one point, didn't he? That was genuinely a thing
did he?
Yeah. He had a company called The Boring Company, like that would bore like boring holes.
Mm.
But he thought it was funny because it was called The Boring Company. And I'm sure they did flamethrowers for a bit. But then I think they realised what a stupid and dangerous thing that was to do. I'm not sure. I don't know the ins and outs.
Well, they were trying to sell them in home base.
I sort of think so, yeah. So yeah, he could definitely do some flamethrowing.
I mean, doesn't this exist? Didn't he call that guy in Thailand essentially a predator and he took him to court?
Fucking hell.
Is this just a courtroom drama?
Elon versus Predator. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like a propaganda piece. For the record, this is all fantasy. Please don't cancel me. This is stupid. But yeah, I mean, a nice bit of, yeah.
John, some of the things I've said about Christ and some things I said about BTS, I think we're really trying to, we're managing.
Edgelords.
We're getting the edgelords. I don't know if Christianity has edgelords, but if they do, bring them on. We're getting the BTS guys and we're getting the Elon stuff. I don't think there's anyone left on the internet with like a rabid fan base.
Right. So the thing is, I think you go for Jesus. Right. You go for Jesus. I don't think anything's going to happen to you. I think Elon, I'm in trouble, right? I think Jungkook is the most dangerous person we've gone for in this episode by a mile.
I agree. Do you think me claiming that he wants an even more giant what's it might be what gets me doxxed and brought down by the internet? Because I actually think it's a mark of the man.
Yeah, I think your allegation against Jungkook isn't exactly
I think it's a compliment.
Yeah.
But you don't know how these BTS fans are going to read it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This one's from Ula. Saving Pirate Ryan.
Great. So Lawrence Fox, Nigel Farage, and Boris Johnson are on a pirate ship.
Oh, God.
And at Prison Planet is the latest crew member.
Well, and they're going to go save Prison Planet. It's like Joseph Paul Watson, isn't that his name? Oh, God, why do I know his
name?
Yeah,
they're going to save him from Snowflake Island. No, what was it? Saving Pirate Ryan.
Yeah.
That's a really fun title.
It's nice when someone gets a classic and does something unexpected.
Yeah, so a pirate's been kidnapped and taken on shore. And this is like your classic fish out of water thing, I guess. Pirates are terrible on land, but they have to band together and make the most of their resources. Right?
I like it. Yeah. Matt Damon, is he the pirate who's gone missing? I'm not sure Matt Damon pulls off pirate particularly well.
No, he's not a pirate. I tell you what it is. It's what we've all been waiting for. It's the Plemons Damon vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
They kidnapped Plemons when they wanted Damon.
So they're both...
It's inevitable, right? At some point, they'll both do a film.
Yeah.
There will come a point... So Plemons is on the rise at the moment. Plemons, controversial. I think in terms of...
In this episode, another fucking controversial thing.
I think in terms of... Definitely in terms of awards right now, Plemons is a hotter ticket than Damon.
Yeah. I can see that.
I think Damon might just edge it at the box office still, but I reckon in the next 2 years that's going to be Plemons. So inevitably, in 5-10 years, a big check's going to come both their way when things have waned a little bit for them to star in a Mistaken Identity film. And they could do it in a meta Ocean's 12 kind of way, where in the film they are Matt Damon and Jesse Plemons. Or maybe it's just the cheapest body swap Freaky Friday film ever. Or they play, you know, for example, pirates that get mistaken. It is going to happen. If you're still listening to this, because, you know, I haven't been brought down by the internet fan culture of one of the people we've offended today, mark a note, on this day, Tuesday the 14th of June, 2022, Joel predicted the Plemons Damon crossover movie, and then it will happen. 2025. Summer 2025, the big hit, the big smash hit.
And they're playing, are they related or did it just happen? It's just a coincidence because they look like each other.
It's a coincidence. I think it's a coincidence.
Great. So Plemons is kidnapped. Is he kidnapped? I think they're sort of normal buttoned up sailors, right? They are your sort of British Navy sailors.
Okay, nice. And they get what they get. Yeah,
so Plemons is kidnapped by pirates. And
he becomes a pirate.
And he likes the life. He actually...
And so when they go to save him, he doesn't want saving.
Yeah. That's good. His sort of adoption of the pirate lifestyle makes the sort of British Empire realise that pirates aren't so bad. And we all get on. We all should get on.
That's a lovely thing, John.
It's a nice message. Right, let's have another one from me. What about this one from Daryl? Nothing, Nowhere, All at Once.
That's good.
Have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I haven't, actually. Great, I've been meaning to. Have you seen it?
No.
It's multiverse. It's fun in the multiverse, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Fun. There's multiple universes. So this is just about a single universe.
It's a film that takes place... Imagine, if you will, a film that takes place in one universe.
Well, that's the problem is, right, Marvel movies have such a hold on popular culture and box office takings that... Now they're in their multiverse phase. Eventually, we will forget what it's like to see a movie that takes place in one universe.
You see a kitchen sink drama.
It'll actually be quite refreshing. Yeah, a kitchen sink drama. Or is Marvel's next phase kitchen sink dramas?
Well, I think we sort of discussed that the other day. I think we should see some other sort of genre of films in those universes. So yeah, I'd love a kitchen sink drama in the Marvel universe. Yeah, I like the idea of
who would it be, though? I guess, like, the initial episodes of WandaVision were sort of that, right?
Well, they were comedy, but yeah, they were about just a couple's sort of normal life. The thing is, now that they've made, in the Marvel movies, Thor just a hilarious character, I sort of could probably watch Chris Hemsworth be a sort of himbo and do anything really. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could just watch that all day. So I don't, like, when you watch those films, you're like, yeah, it's great that he's fighting these, you know, big monstrous baddies, but I'm also just enjoying him be hilarious.
It's not the hottest take or the most original opinion, but generally that I just switch off in the last 30 minutes of those films.
Yeah, I would sort of agree. And like with the series is now, you're like, once episode 5's done, you're like, yeah, okay, the next episode is just going to be a big fight. Got it.
Yeah. Cool. And there's no new way to do those fights. There's just no new way to do those fights.
I feel like I have seen something at some point.
Spider-Man was pretty good, right? There were some good bits in Spider-Man, but was it the fighting or was it just the fact that it was fun because of who was there?
Yeah, I think quipping helps make those sort of fights more fun. So like, again, Tom Holland in Civil War, when he's first introduced and he's saying all the funny things, he's like, is your arm made out of metal? That's awesome. That shield defies the laws of
That's probably
physics.
8 years ago though, John.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen a fight scene that was done interestingly and I thought, oh, this is entertaining in a different way, but I can't think of it for the life of me.
Did you shout that out during the screening in the cinema?
I am. Bravo.
This is entertaining in a different way.
Yeah.
And everyone cheered.
Yeah.
Hey, John, have you got any more you'd like to do, or would you like to hear my ones, or would you like to hear three very quick ones from someone on a theme?
Let's do three very quick ones on a theme.
Okay, so we had a running gag on this podcast that no one got involved with, but we kept bringing it up, where we asked for films about chocolate. I don't really know why we asked that.
No idea.
We are so bad at remembering anything that gets said on this show.
Yeah. Apologies. If you're binging, you'll be like, if you happen to be someone who's just going through these, which, thank you, welcome, it'll be so weird, because to you, we'd have said it like an hour ago.
Yeah. So we asked for chocolate movies for reasons that neither of the hosts of the podcast can remember. But it's quite funny, isn't it? We lambast the listeners for not remembering to send us ideas. But John, we don't remember anything we say.
No, I apologise for
last
week.
We might have requested something else from the listener. And it just means that if someone does get involved, they'll tweet us something like, oh yeah, my bin once smelt like yoghurt. And we won't remember anything that we've said that relates to that. And you just think this person's lost their minds. Anyway, what's the weirdest thing your bins have ever smelt of? Do tweet us at Dream Factory Pod. So these are chocolate films. We've got Hot Fudge Fuzz. Difficult to say quickly.
Yep. Hot Fudge.
I just think it's Hot Fuzz, but it takes place in wherever the Cadbury's factory is in this country. There's a murder at the Cadbury's factory. Someone gets pushed into a vat of dairy milk.
It's near Birmingham, isn't it? I know that. Mm. So.
Yeah.
I think Solihull. I'm going to guess. If you put a gun to my head right now and said, where is the Cadbury's factory? I'd say Solihull.
Let's have a look. So yeah, it's a series of murders that take place. You're right, it's in Birmingham. Well done. It's a series of murders that take place at the Cadbury's factory.
Yeah.
They're all chocolate-based murders. Confectionaire.
Sorry, going back to the idea of murders in the... No, because I like that. There's something... No. This is more
well,
of a
it sort of happens in China in the Chocolate
exactly.
Factory.
Exactly. It's almost like the investigation that takes place after Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That could be fun. Confectionaire, con air. So a bunch of convicts on a plane, right?
Yep.
Confection, so...
But with... Not sure.
All
not
their
sure,
crimes
John.
Are chocolate-based, or...
They're chocolate-based. Yeah, no, it's chocolate-based crimes.
Imagine filling a plane full of people who've been locked up for confession.
Well, they committed all of these murders in the factory.
There we go.
It's a sequel. And the next one's Coco, which I think's a spin on the Pixar film Coco.
Yeah, it's got an A at the end of the word.
It has, yeah. But it's difficult to say that.
Cocoa.
Cacao.
The Land of the Dead.
And that's
dead.
The third one. That's the trilogy. It's a complete trilogy. So Hot Fudge Fuzz, a series of murders take place in a chocolate factory. Everyone arrested for those crimes is transported via a big purple plane. They're going to prison. The plane crashes, and then we see them in the afterlife in Coco.
Genuinely amazing
Where they meet their victims from the original film.
Oh, whoa.
It's good stuff.
I like it.
Why don't you tell me your idea for a film?
A young Katie Hopkins falls into a radioactive vat and is reborn misinformation.
Very good. And let's attack another angry online...
Yeah, I'm,
community.
Fine, but I'm more than happy to state my name next to that one rather than the accidental Jungkook hate we're going to be getting.
And that's actually inspired me to completely change mine at the last second. So my film idea this week, John, is The Swiss Family Tommy Robinson.
Fucking hell! I don't know if we can put this episode out. Oh, God.
I'm not actually 100% sure what the plot of the Swiss Family Robinson is. The family are...
what's it called? On an island. It's like... washed up on an island, right? And they sort of...
A family must learn to survive on a deserted island where their ship is destroyed in a storm after being chased by a group of pirates. Okay. Tommy Robinson is washed up on a desert island and he actually learns to love the native people there because they're so helpful and it changes him as a man. Because we can all change, John.
I honestly don't know what I'm going to... Apologies.
All right, if you want an edit point, my original idea was King Corn, and it was just about a giant corn that destroyed New York City.
Fucking hell. What, the big what's it?
Yeah, we... I don't know what you're talking about. I think this is the best episode we've ever done. Cue music.
John Cook!
Oh, well done, John.
Thanks, mate.
I've just realised that the guy in BTS probably isn't called Jonathan Cook, which is what I thought you were saying the whole way through.
It's Jungkook. Jungkook.
Jonathan Cook. Who's your favourite member of BTS? Imagine that's like me going to see my fucking niece and nephew or whatever. Oh, yeah, I love those BTS guys. My favourite's Jungkook.
Fuck's sake.
There's our racist old uncle. Good stuff. God, I honestly think that's the best episode we've ever done.
I hate it so
much.
I'd
like to apologise to everyone.
Yeah, blanket apology. I might put one at the beginning.
But I think it's all fine.
Okay.
Great. Apart from all of the stuff you edited out. those were some pretty serious allegations. Yeah,
you thought what you're hearing is bad. You don't know what I did.
We actually
out.
Recorded this for 2 hours.
Oh, Joel, I fainted last night.
Oh, my God, what happened?
Middle of the night. The fire alarm.
Finally, open those pictures I sent you of me in the bath.
Fire alarm goes off. Fire alarm goes off, and it turns out. So my partner and my baby were sleeping in a different room. She put the humidifier on, and then she opened the door, and all the humidity hit the fire alarm. And apparently, that can set them off. Like I remember at uni, people telling me that showers would set off their fire alarm sometimes. Anyway, but that's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm completely disoriented. I run into the corridor and I'm hitting the button on the thing and I just faint and it's at the top of the stairs and my partner's like sitting on the bed trying to like comfort my child who's like crying because he's been woken up by a fire alarm and she just sees at the end of the bedroom by the door my feet on the floor. So yeah,
shit, is that the first time you've ever fainted?
No, I fainted.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
While she was giving birth. It turns out the last year has really proven how pathetic I am. Fight or flight or faint.
Well, I've always known. I don't think I've ever fainted. What does it feel like?
I don't remember. Like there's just a weird period in the middle where I don't remember
anything.
So
scary.
Yeah. So that was fun. I don't know whether it's the stress of it or like apparently you can get it from sort of just low blood pressure because you jump up out of, but you're like lying down completely asleep and then you suddenly jump up and your body's not ready for it. But yeah, so yeah, that was
I mean,
fun.
That sounds like the sort of thing that would happen to a 100-year-old man.
Yeah, like, I know. That's not the greatest excuse, is it?
You
it
does sound stood like, up too quick.
Pretty much. Also, oh, man. I haven't had a chance to thank you for the birthday present you got for my son.
You're welcome.
Do you want to tell the listener what it is?
It's a little cuddly blue cheese.
It's so veiny.
It is quite veiny, but the best blue cheese is. It's just very realistic.
Yeah, I walked into the room after my partner had been doing a bunch of unwrapping of presents, and I walked in and I was like, who the fuck got this cheese? And she was like, oh, it's Joel. I was like, oh, classic. And Jack.
And our friend Jack. Yeah, Joel and Jack combined. We wrote the card together on the train. He did the writing and I did some of the words. I've got very bad handwriting. I just thought there's no way anyone else is getting this kid a cuddly blue cheese. You know, the worry, like when you go to a wedding, that everyone's getting them a toaster. That's why I get everyone a cuddly blue cheese, regardless
all
of
occasions.
The celebration. Yeah. It's always weird at a funeral, but I will not deviate from that. Oh, well done, everyone. Well done, John. Maybe we're back next week, but maybe the internet's destroyed us.
Thank you. Apologies.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.